truth.
Let's go to our theme verse, 2 Timothy 2. Theme verses, I guess, but today, I'm going to teach on, usually I teach at night, today I'm going to teach on 2:1, being strong in the grace. So 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Grace, some of us may have heard a pretty good definition for how it's used in God's word, is unmerited divine favor. It means you didn't do anything that you could earn it, and God just kind of likes you. It's a more general usage of it, like outside the Bible and stuff like that. You know, like an inclining towards, a friendly willingness. It's kind of like God has a crush on you, okay? He's just kind of into you, right? That's grace. And that's God's disposition toward us, and that's why we have everything we have. That is why. We're saved by grace, we have Holy Spirit by grace, we have eternal life by grace, we have nine manifestations by grace. All of that is because God likes us. And the liking us is not dependent on anything that we do. You know, just like when you maybe have a crush on somebody. If you've never had a crush on somebody, then I'll come up with something else for you later. But for the rest of us, you know, you not necessarily don't know why, right? You think they're a little cute, right? But then maybe there's just a little something about them, right? God's just inclined toward you, all right? He just likes you. And it's not because you brought him a present, and it's not because you talk so good, and it's not because you walk so good. It's because he just likes you. And grace, that might sound like a little cute, but it's actually a very, very powerful thing. It's a very, very important thing, and it's really the foundation for why we have everything we have, God's love and grace. So let's look at Ephesians 1. Get a little sense of how God operates, how God does things. That be strong, it's to be strengthened in grace, and we're going to see how that's possible. When you realize that God loves you and you don't have to earn it anymore, you become very dangerous to the adversary. All right? Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." That's God. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. You know what that means? You know who he goes to for advice when he wants to do something? Himself. Okay? God does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. End of story. Nobody makes God do anything. Nobody tells God he can't do anything. He's God. Okay? So when he called you, that's because he wanted to do it. You didn't make him. He didn't make a mistake. God works everything after the counsel of his own will. Alright? He's OG that way. Alright? You can't put a gun to God's head, you can't make him sweat. Alright? That's why. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. He makes his own decisions only. So a couple books before this, 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness," right? That's unbelievers, all right? It's dumb to them. "But unto us which are saved, it's the what? It's the power of God, right? For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise, right? Where are you now? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Come at me. "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." That's like, oh yeah, they're so smart they didn't even know God, right? "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So you want a little psychology of how God thinks, okay? He likes that it's so stupid simple to get born again. He loves that it's that easy to get the greatest thing that you could ever get. He gave away the greatest thing that's ever been given to anybody, and he loves that. I work in like tech and stuff like that, and they're always talking about like disruption or whatever. So I don't know, the good examples, like that company Uber, right? They're disrupting cab services, right? You use your phone and they send you a car and stuff like that, right? God disrupts the adversary's plans all the time, all right? So grace feels a little weird because we're used to how the adversary does things, okay? But God likes that grace is weird. God likes that grace goes against the way this world is run. And he likes that it's stupid simple to get born again. The foolishness of preaching, right? You just talk to somebody and they could have eternal life. And they're no longer under the adversary's control. Like that. That's how God thinks. That's how he operates. And in Isaiah 45, verse 19, you don't have to go there, it says, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I have not said unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. God is right. God is just. God is the supreme moral authority of the universe. So if it were wrong for you to get Holy Spirit for free, guess who'd be the last person to do it? God. It's right that you're born again. Okay? It is just that you are born again. And he made sure that there was no stone left unturned. All right? No little bit that Jesus Christ did not accomplish fully so that we are redeemed completely and righteous. That's grace for free. He's right. You're not going to lose it. So it's not going anywhere. Go to Romans 11. Some other key points about grace. You see how you could maybe get some strength out of this? Some endurance? You know? God doesn't allow injustice. You know? That's the trick. Like, ah, but me, right? I'm the worst. You're not. Right? Come on. You think you're going to, like, put hair on God's chest? He's been around forever. He's seen every horrible thing everybody's ever done. Right? What have you done? Right? And he's still this way. Right? I'm the Lord, I change not. That's Malachi, what, 3:6, right? Cool. All right. Romans 11, verse 6. You have enough time to get there. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more what?
Grace.
I guess the rest of the verse may be omitted, but it doesn't really matter because it doesn't change anything. Grace is not grace if it's by what?
Works.
It's just, there's no works, all right? It's not part of the definition. It's not part of what it is. It's just, that's out of the picture, okay? So that's really important to remember about grace. And that is how we got saved. And that's how we get everything from God. Why? Because he felt like it. Because he always feels like it. Because he doesn't change. That's his disposition. He always has a crush on you. And you can always rely on him to be there with flowers at the door. That's just how he is. He's just like the best boyfriend. Why not? You know? Why not? You know? He doesn't have to be like the dad that's spanking you all the time. You know? That's not how he portrays himself. You know? With Isaiah, he's like a nursing mother. You know? Think about how God talks about himself, not how people tell us he is. Go to Galatians 2. You know, it's not of works, and in 2 Corinthians 9, it says, God's able to make all grace abound toward us, that we, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work. So grace actually helps you do the work, all right? There is stuff to do in life, but not to get God to like you, not to earn stuff from God. I didn't even go to Galatians. Who's there? 2:21?
Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Boom. Chew on that one for breakfast. If righteousness comes from the law, Christ died for no reason. Then the only perfect man ever to walk the earth died for no reason. That's what God's word says. All right? If we get tricked into thinking we can earn anything from God, it's like, why did Jesus Christ die? Why did he go through that? That's how big this grace thing is. Right? It's suffused throughout the entire Word of God because it's who God is. It's how he does things. And if you hop back to chapter 1, verse 6 says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I thought that was pretty notable. It says he marveled, you know? It must have taken a lot to get him to marvel, right? But it's part of, unfortunately, sin nature to get talked out of this very, very easily. Because from the time we're little, we're told we got to earn everything. And that is not how God is. That's not how he does it. If we keep reading, verse 7 says, which is not another. It's not good news, right? It's not the gospel, right? It's not good news. But there be some that trouble you, which would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, Paul goes, now listen, if it's me, right, an angel from heaven, doesn't matter. Anyone preaches any other gospel unto you, other than which we have preached unto you, let him be what? As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. All right? It's not going to change. God's grace is not going away. All right? We can rely on it. We can get strength from it. So 2 Timothy. I don't even know how long I've been up here. 2 Timothy. It's written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy from jail. There's a lot of division going on. There's a lot of people teaching some other stuff. Actually, hop over to 1 Timothy chapter 1 real quick. We can get a little flavor of what's going on. 1 Timothy 1 verse 5 says, now the end of the commandment is the love of God out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, without hypocrisy. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of what?
Love.
See what's going on? This is in Paul's lifetime. Okay? He's still alive. All right? He's still preaching the word of God to people, right? And already swerved aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Why? Well, we know the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man. Are you righteous?
Yes.
How do you know that? God's word says it. So the law is not for you, and it's not for me. It's for people that don't have righteousness. All right? That's why anybody tries to put a yoke on us, we throw it off. We break it. That ain't God. It's right here in black and white. But people from the first century church on have taken this grace and tried to turn it into something else because they feel inadequate, because they want to be better than other people, because the adversary does not want us to know this or to believe it, even worse. Go to 2 Timothy. You know, and later in that section, Paul calls himself chief of sinners. No one understood grace like that, dude. Right? It wasn't just that God had entrusted that gospel to him, which he did. That was a big part of what he was preaching to people. But he, without grace, he was done. He was screwed. And so am I. So are you. But he knew that in his bones. Because, I mean, he was taking, you know, he was taking Christians to prison, man. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, wherefore, this is Paul, by revelation, talking to Timothy. I put in the remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, rekindle it, stir into flames the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Stuff's going down, right? Stuff's going down. He goes, rekindle it. Stir up the flame of the gift that's in you, right? God's not given us a spirit of fear, right? Dig in. Verse 9, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and what?
Grace.
Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This is a call to arms. That's what this is, right? Things are going south here. So what's Paul telling him to do? Well, first, let's read verse 15. You can see how far south it went. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are these two dudes with the silly names, right? All of Asia. In Acts 19, all of Asia heard the word, right? Because Paul was preaching grace and the revelation that's written down in Ephesians. So we go to 2 Timothy 2. In light of this, what's Paul tell Timothy to do? Take some public speaking classes so you can be a more effective preacher? You know? What's he tell him to do? What's he going to be strong in? Where does spiritual strength come from? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Did he need strength? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He needed strength. Do we need strength? Yeah. This strength, the root of this is dunamis. It's power. It's the same thing that's in you from Holy Spirit. It's that potential power in you, that dynamite. Grace infuses you with that. When you walk in grace, you're walking in power. Go to, well, whatever you want, I guess. No, go to 2 Corinthians. Got to be strong in it. Can't get pushed around. You know, it is important. It's important that I believe this. It's important that you believe this. You, specifically you. It's not for someone else to do. It's for you and me to do. 2 Corinthians 12, I love this section so much. Verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." God had shown Paul some really cool stuff here. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So where did it come from? And if you work God's word, thorn in the flesh was, it's people. What's going on in 2 Timothy? People. What's going on in your life, in my life? People. I'm usually the person. Doesn't matter. It's people, right? It's people. It's not from God. But what happens here? Verse 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me," right? Going to God, he's going to God, and he's going to God. Three times. And what's God say? "My grace is enough for you." Grace is enough. It's more than enough. Why? "My strength is made perfect in weakness." God's strength is perfected in our inability. Because the more we let God do it, the more done it's going to get. The more we do it, man, the more something else it's going to get. Grace has to be enough. Yeah, I can't do all this. I can't do all things through me. Right? And that's actually a similar word too. Christ, he who infuses me with inner strength, that's that word. And dunamaon. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. It's brought to its full end. It's completed. It's put into effect. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what?
Strong."
That's one perspective on life. Right? That's a tough one. I'm not there yet. But I'd like to be, very much. Because if this grace thing is real, then we've really got all the power of the Creator of the heavens and the earth at our disposal. Then he really does just like me. And he really will do whatever he says he's going to do for me. And then I can walk in power. Ephesians 6. Hebrews 13:9 says, "Our hearts are supposed to be established with grace." That's what makes us steadfast. That's the concrete that we put our feet in. That's what keeps us not moving. Not with meats, not with works. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his what? The strength of his ability. That be strong in the Lord is the exact same word and the exact same usage as 2 Timothy 2:1. Being strong in grace is being strong in the Lord, and it's being strong in God. The more we stop trying to do it ourselves, and the more we let God do it, the more we're going to see. And the more we rely completely and just believe God when he says he loves us, when he says he'll do anything for us, when he says we've been given all spiritual blessings already, the more power we are going to manifest in this life. If you feel weak, if you feel burdened, if whoever's telling you that you don't deserve what God's given you, tell them to shut up, especially if it's you, because it's just a lie from the pit of hell. That's the adversary talking to you. You are strong because God loves you. You are strong because God is with you. And you are strong because God's grace is never going to leave your life. Okay? So that's what I want to share. All right?
Okay, well, that was excellent. So be strong in what?
Grace.
Grace. Grace means God's divine favor. And we have God's divine favor. We're born again of God's Spirit. And Jesus Christ, you know, won the victory for us. You know, the context of this is he was going over, Paul was in jail. And that was difficult because Paul had gotten older and Paul was in jail. And what Patty was talking about was there was legalism that was creeping in. Remember in Acts 20 or 21, a lot of the people, the Judeans, were zealous for the law. And Paul had taught about God's grace. But in certain circles, that legalism was creeping in. So Paul was getting older, and Paul was talking to Timothy, a person who was going to take over a lot of the stuff that Paul was doing. And Paul was talking to Timothy, and the legalism was creeping in. And what did Paul tell Timothy? He said, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. All this stuff that Jesus Christ accomplished, let's not throw it away by works and religion and whatever, but to be strong in the grace. And to be strong in the grace, we got to know the grace. You know the grace, and then you stand on it. You hold on to it. And that's a very cool thing. And religion is all over the place, but we stand and we're strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and that's so important because that's how we walk in the freedom that we have, and that's how we walk, you know, manifesting the Christ in us, okay? So that was excellent, Patty. Thank you very much.